You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in, 3:05 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Kevin away from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome aboard. Great to have you with us. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes across the table. Andrew on the other side of the glass on a Thursday here in Eastern Iowa with a fresh haircut.
Yeah. Todd saw it Tuesday morning because I did it over the weekend, but everybody else is, this has been a nice surprise coming in and being like, whoa, you have short hair.
You have very short hair.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I know the people can't see it, but you went with the pretty close to
buzz
no
cut.
Hair.
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, it doesn't help that I have really light hair too, but yeah.
It's your summer look.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Why?
I just wanted to change.
Because you had pretty long hair.
I did. And it had it for a couple of years at that point, but I just felt like a change finally.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it looks great.
Thank you.
Believe us.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, we got a good show coming up for you. John Cooper's going to be joining us coming up a little bit later on from Our Lad Scouting Service. We're going to talk about the NFL draft, take a look at the local prospects, take a look at just the draft as a whole. And we'll do that with John Cooper coming up. And if you have a question out there, we'll sprinkle that in as well. On the text line at 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. Looking forward to talking a little NFL draft, which is a week from tonight at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
No doubt. It's going to be fun with John. And good afternoon to you guys and everyone. And I'm anxious to pose a lot of questions. I'm sure you are, too. Anxious for listeners to weigh in. John's good. He'll give us his opinion on a variety of topics. And, Thursday, Friday is going to be fun.
It is.
At the draft.
Friday is the second and the third round, of course, and then the remainder of the draft will come up on Saturday. The first round will be on Thursday. It should be an electric atmosphere. It always is at the draft. And whether it's in Kansas City, Detroit, or Green Bay, it's been very Midwest centrally located in our neck of the woods as of late. And it's going to be special up in Green Bay, too, up at Lambeau Field or just outside Lambeau Field. Is where they're going to hold the draft for 2025. A lot of football to get to today. Well, you know, it is a weekday in April, so there is some, you know, NIL stuff to talk about. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But we start things off with football and the announcement that I think a lot of people saw coming earlier. Well, saw coming. But finally made official today by ESPN and College Game Day. The beloved Lee Corso is going to have one more outing on game day, and then he is going to hang up the headset. And the headgear, he will hang it up. He is going to officially go into retirement. He has brought so much to college football over the years and has missed a handful of games over the last couple of years due to health reasons. And I think a lot of people thought that this was definitely on the horizon, and ESPN made it official today. He will be there at the first week College Game Day broadcast, wherever that will be. And the speculation has already started, and a lot of great tributes coming in to Lee Corso today.
Yeah, no question. He's a staple on that particular show. 38 years, been on so many campuses. Several funny moments. The headgear is his go-to, and he'll do it one last time. And speculation, maybe Alabama at Florida State, because Corso played at Florida State.
Yep.
And Texas-Ohio State is also that day. And I know two of the teams that he coached, Indiana and Northern Illinois, play that day. I doubt that game day will be at those venues for those non-conference games. But, yeah, and whether ESPN replaces him or whatnot, I don't believe they've announced a replacement.
Well, it's going to be Pat McAfee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless something strange happens. McAfee was on there last year, and so he's going to be I would imagine he is going to be stepping in and taking over the reins. And he is as we all know, Pat McAfee is a very strong character as well on ESPN.
He is indeed, and as many know that, and you and I know that, Corso is well-connected to Iowa football from the standpoint that he and his Indiana team were on the opposite sidelines when Hayden Fry made his debut as the Iowa coach in 1979. I think we compared notes earlier. We were both in Kinnick Stadium that
day. I was there at that game. September the 8th of 1979, Iowa and Indiana. Hayden Fry's first game as new coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And as people that were there recall, Iowa led at halftime 26-3 in that game. And a very upset Lee Corso. And he has told the story many times. And if you have a Lee Corso story or just a game day recollection, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to share that with us, 319-366-1600. Yeah, Lee Corso told the story. He said, told his troops, hey, don't bother coming out for the second half. I'm kind of taking it the long version and making it the Reader's Digest version here. If you don't know what Reader's Digest is, give it a Google. At any rate, he said something to the effect of, don't bother coming out in the second half unless you are prepared to win this game. And all they did in the second half was outscore Iowa 27-0 and win it 30-26, spoiling Hayden Fry's debut as Iowa football coach.
Scored with about a minute left on a 60-some-odd-yard pass. It was passed to the sidelines, as I recall. Lonnie Johnson on the receiving end and beat Mario Pace really bad. And Hayden Fry, in the game story that I revisited today, said there was a breakdown on the defensive side of things. They went from a zone defense. The guys switched to man, and therefore Johnson got behind Pace, outran him to the end zone, and Indiana. Fry never lost to Corso again. And actually, that was Corso's best Indiana team. They had 8 wins, went to a bowl game, won that bowl game, but largely Corso was not a great football coach. He had some success at Louisville. He got the job at Indiana, and later went to Northern Illinois. But his record was not good, and maybe that says something about the programs he coached. I don't know, but I remember. I don't remember who I was with at the game. Very few, you know, not all the details, but I do remember going to the restroom at halftime. And everybody patting each other on the shoulders. We're back. We're back. 26-3. Yeah, we're back. And everybody's in a great mood. And by the end of that game, not so much. And Iowa went 5-6 that year and nearly got that elusive winning season. But maybe you can attribute it to that Indiana game.
Oh, we could remember some guys with this thing.
Well, Phil Seuss, the quarterback.
Phil Seuss was the quarterback for Iowa. And that was the coming out party of Dennis Mosley. Because Hayden Fry said one of the first things he was going to do, besides beat Purdue, because Purdue had beaten Iowa, what, 26 straight times or something like that. And that stuck in Hayden Fry's craw. But he also said Iowa will have a 1,000-yard rusher. And Dennis Mosley, I'm looking at this is the DI, which, by the way, put out like a 32-page paper back in 1979, the Daily Iowan. Dennis Mosley ran for 142 yards in that game. Phil Blacher also.
Good running back.
A running back for the Hawkeyes.
You remember who the Indiana quarterback was?
Well, I can look and see. His last name was Johnson.
Tim Clifford.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm looking at rushing. You're right, Timmy. Tim Clifford, yep. Yep. Dave Holsklaw was the punter.
Sam Palladino.
Lemon Weiss. Oh, baby. This was just looking at this article and reading it. Yeah. So everyone thought Iowa was back, and then Indiana came out for the second half. 319-366-1600. And I think Nebraska Jason brings up a very good point here. I don't think you're going to get ripped for this, but he's glad that this announcement has finally come down the road, because I think a lot of people share his sentiment that it was kind of sad to see Lee Corso having – either they would have him there on set and – you know, he was not in the best of health, still isn't in the best of health. Hopefully everything's going to go right and he'll be there one last time for week one this year. But, yeah, I get what you're saying, Jason, out there, and a lot of people, I think, share that sentiment, that it was just kind of sad to see him hanging on and to see him, you know, pushed out there every week that he can make it.
It's tough to give up. I get it. He's going to be 90 in August, so... that's about a pretty good time to put it in the rearview mirror.
Still beloved in the state of Indiana. Not so much as a coach, like you said. He will always be a coach around Indianapolis and Bloomington and in that area. But he was a character, as you could see through the 38 years of College game day. He was a larger-than-life character. He was kind of like a Jim Valvano if Jim Valvano had not come down with cancer and left us way too early.
Was he the coach, Corso, that after one game or one some circumstance got in a coffin?
Yes.
And they opened it up and Corso pops up and says, not dead yet.
That was Lee Corso. He would do a lot of that stuff, a lot of shtick with Lee Corso, but he is going to officially retire. They will bring him back one more time, and speculation beginning where College game day will land on that first weekend. A lot of good games in week number one, so ESPN really can't go wrong, and there'll be a lot of tributes coming up that day. 319-366-1600. Going to talk NFL draft with John Cooper coming up after an Emil's Hideaway sports scoreboard. Let's get it right. Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update toward the bottom of the hour, but it is our daily fill of NIL, Mark. Did not take long for your friend and mine, Nico.
I am Aleva.
Thank you.
To
land on his feet. He is now a UCLA Bruin, I guess officially, but speculation was he was going to go back home, and that's exactly where he landed. He will be in the Big Ten next year. Iowa does not play UCLA, so they will not have to face him one more time. But Nico is a Bruin now. I guess not surprised.
He's going to get about what he was being paid to see, according to the reports. And that's one of the problems, that none of us really know exactly how much players are being paid. There are websites, there are people that think they track this. SportTrack, I think, is one of them that devotes a lot of time to it. But we really don't know for sure unless a player says exactly how much he's making. And then, you know, is that accurate as well? I mean, I think Nico thought Carson Beck was making $4 million in Florida, you know, when he transferred. Is he? Isn't he? I don't know. But I think when this whole thing broke at Tennessee, most schools either backed off or said, you know what, we're not paying you double what you're looking for. And reports are he it's 1.75 at UCLA. Once again, we don't know. These things are not public knowledge. It's just reporting, and some reports are better than others.
Keep in mind as well that UCLA, a couple things. Number one, they brought in Tino Sinceri, who was the co-offensive coordinator at Indiana last year. And we know what the Hoosiers did behind Curtis Rourke and Cignetti and getting to the college football playoff before unceremoniously being dumped by Notre Dame. But he is still a bright young star
in
the college ranks, and he's going to be a head coach sooner than later. So he's going to be going into that program. Now, here's the funny thing about this whole situation is that for UCLA, they already signed another quarterback before Nico left Tennessee and left Knoxville. Joey Aguilar, who was the Appy State quarterback, is already at UCLA. So does he go into the transfer portal now without ever having played a down?
Depends on how much money he's making.
At UCLA. Bruins are getting into the NIL game in a big way because not only the football signings, but they went out and got one of the top two point guards in the country in college basketball and Donovan Dent from New Mexico to play point guard for the UCLA basketball team next year. So they're spending a lot of money in Westwood right now for UCLA.
Meanwhile, you have a place like West Virginia that lost on the first day the portal opened for football, 36 players, 24 of them scholarship players, 12 of them walk-ons, but 36 players up and decided,
36.
I'm gone.
And that's a West Virginia team that's really had a lot of upheaval lately. And, man, to have 36 go, that is crazy, crazy right now. 319-366-1600. And an interesting article while we're landing on NIL here before we get to Mark and Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Matt Norlander came out with a story on CBSSports.com today. You think football is bad? College basketball is catching up in a big way. Matt is reporting that no less than 8 teams are going to have a $10 million roster next year for college basketball. He calls them the $10 million club. And this is on a variety of sources that he is going to. They are Arkansas, BYU, Duke, Darren DeVries in Indiana, who have been raking in big-time stars. 4 big transfers that are going to be playing for Darren DeVries in Indiana, including his son next year. Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan, North Carolina, St. John's, and Texas Tech are the 8 teams that are going to have a $10 million roster for basketball next year.
Beyond that, there's more than a dozen teams, according to this article, and I recommend it. I thought it was a fascinating. It has some anecdotal information about unnamed recruits and whatnot about their situations. But there's another dozen teams plus that are in the $8 million range.
Yeah.
I mean, in neither category is Iowa and Iowa State, just in case you wondered.
No, they are not. And Iowa State closer than Iowa, although reports are that Iowa is opening up the checkbook. There are reports out there that Iowa is spending upwards of maybe $5 or $6 million on their roster. It's interesting because...
Wouldn't it be nice to know for sure?
It would be nice. It would be nice. One high major coach told Norlander, the guys aren't worth the money they're going for.
It's unsustainable. I thought the best paragraph in that whole article was that 5 years ago, 4,400 and some odd players were paid zero NIL money. 5 years ago. Look where we've come in 5 years.
It gives another example. Nigel Pack, remember when we were all just shaking our heads when he signed a two-year NIL deal after leaving Kansas State and going to Miami that paid him $400,000?
That might get you my sixth man.
That is, well, Norlander goes on to say here that that gets you somebody right now that's coming off of your bench that you probably got out of a mid-major that's going to be about a 5 to 8 point a game score is going to be a $400,000 player now. That tells you, again, how college basketball definitely has changed. 56-15 saying, someone with authority, please make it stop. Said that for a long time, and I don't think it's going to happen. And 1345 saying, yeah, Baylor right now, they sent us an article as well. They don't have, if they have anybody on their roster right now, I'm not sure they do. They don't have a handful. They don't have enough to put out a starting lineup right now and play a game for the Baylor Bears at this point. It's crazy. But they're going to end up probably.
They'll be okay.
And the big, listen, there are a lot of people that are losing out on this situation. The big losing group is the, can I say, average D1 to mid-major, somewhat D1 high school senior, because they're just not being recruited now. Because of the transfer portal, there's not enough room for them to go onto these rosters. And what the big boys are hoping happens is that they end up at places like Utah Valley, Grand Canyon, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, what have you, do well there, and then they go in and poach them.
Depends on what school it is, but I get your point. For example, Ben McCollum just signed Mr. Basketball in Iowa. So he found a place. But maybe those opportunities are fewer and far between.
Yeah, it's amazing. And as Rod says, what's wrong with this is that players are being paid on their potential or their ceiling. And, hey, that's the NBA draft for you. That's all 48 or whatever players that are selected in the NBA draft. It's not because they're a great player in college. It's what they think they can be in 5 years. No other draft is like that. Maybe baseball to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But it's not certainly what we're going to see next Thursday. You're not drafting somebody, well, he's 6'8", 340, and he played, you know, three snaps this year, but man, he could be good. Your Bears aren't drafting somebody like that, Mark.
No. Gable Stevenson couldn't make it. Others couldn't make it. Big guys, tough guys, whatnot. Football is a different game.
Yeah, certainly is. All right, we're going to talk football. John Cooper of Arlad Scouting Service to talk about the NFL draft. You have a question about a specific individual or your team? Might be able to get that in there for him at 319-366-1600. But right now, going to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and online at emilshideaway.com. They're a classic local American restaurant right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we got?
Major League Baseball, three finals, two games in progress as we speak. Finals include Arizona defeated Miami 6-4. Pittsburgh, on a leadoff home run, defeated Washington 1-0. Seattle won in 10 innings over Cincinnati 11-7. In progress, the Athletics leading the White Sox 5-0 in the eighth inning. White Sox bases loaded, two outs. And Philadelphia has jumped on top of the San Francisco Giants in the first inning 4-1. Caden Wiegen told reporters today, Wiegen, the Iowa wide receiver and kick returner, Wiegen told reporters today that he is now on scholarship with the Iowa football program. Wiegen, who is, of course, from Williamsburg, won multiple awards for his kick returning last season. Finally, in this week's signature event on the PGA Tour, Justin Thomas posted the low score early on with a 10-under par 61. That tournament in South Carolina, the RBC Heritage Classic.
Yeah, good. He's showing a little bit of game again.
He is.
Showing, rounding into form a little bit for Justin Thomas. Scottie Scheffler second right now in that particular event. Three more days to go for that. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. John Cooper of Our Lad Scouting Service will join us when we return. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we will have some dry time during the afternoon with a mix of sun and clouds. It'll stay breezy and mild with temperatures in the upper 60s to around 70. Then tonight we'll have cloudy skies and temperatures will stay mild. We'll have the chance for some additional showers and storms after 9 p.m. A storm or two could be strong with hail and gusty winds. We'll then have temperatures remaining mild into Friday morning before a cold front moves through and temperatures drop through the day. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
It's spring leaf time, so the city of Cedar Rapids leaf vacuum will be around.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 24th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now or go to the city website for more info.
Hey, ready to sweeten your game? Then it's time for Quick Stars Nature's Touch Ice Cream. Ooh, making moves like the starting lineup of a championship team. Whether you're gearing up for the big game, celebrating a win, or just looking for a sweet break in the action. With so many slam dunk flavors like chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip, and more. Get your hands on your winning Nature's Touch Ice Cream flavor today. Only at Quick Star.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
The sports calendar is heating up, and with ESPN Bet Sportsbook, you can go from checking news to stats to placing bets in a couple of taps. Stream games, bet live, and get exclusive offers when you link your ESPN account. Right now, you can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on Green Bay's team. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We are back, 3:34 here in Eastern Iowa, Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports will follow us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. Text line available, 319-366-1600 for you, and already a couple questions in there for our next guest, John Cooper of Our Lad Scouting Service, kind enough to join us to talk about the NFL Draft, which will kick off next Thursday night with round number one outside Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And you check out everything and what they have to offer at ourlads.com. And John, thanks for the time. Happy draft week.
Yeah, it's a crazy time of year. I want to say there's something going on every day, and I can't even keep track of it all.
A lot of things to keep track of. This is an interesting draft. There's not that, you know, great two or three quarterbacks. There's a lot of speculation that these guys could end up with the potential to be good, but we thought it was Shedeur Sanders, and now it's Cam Ward maybe on top. Where does Travis Hunter play on the football field? So there's some intrigue to this draft.
Oh, for sure. It's you know, one of the things that we've noticed too, besides the quarterbacks, you know, not knowing for sure where these guys might go, maybe only two first rounders. From about 15 in our rankings to all the way about 50, 55, the value of this year of these players is very similar. So we're not going to be surprised if maybe the number 50 guy on our board goes in the first round. It's not going to surprise us based on the team needs, based on how a team perceives the player. A lot of talent in this draft that is fairly evenly ranked in our minds.
John, is the uncertainty over Aaron Rodgers gum up the works a little bit for some teams?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, the rumors are out there. You know, Pittsburgh, maybe. Does he want to play for them? Is he trying to hold out for somebody else? You know, it's going to be an interesting scenario to see just exactly what happens when he signs. I'm of the opinion he's going to wait until after the draft, and he's going to let these teams play their hand, and or it could be on the day of the draft, for that matter, before he, you know, makes a decision on where he's going. You know, some of these teams are going to have to make decisions, too, that might be looking at him that need a quarterback. You know, are they going to draft somebody? What if there's nobody available? Are they going to wait till the second, third round to take one of these down-the-liners that might develop into something? For sure, it's an iffy situation.
You've been around the NFL a long time. Dan has, too, your staff, et cetera, et cetera. When people talk about Travis Hunter playing a lot of downs, offensively and defensively, just how we're trying to explain how hard that is. And very few have done it before. How hard is this going to be? And do you foresee him doing that?
Well, for sure, he's posturing like this is something he badly wants to do. So, you know, if I'm a coach, if I'm a general manager of a team, I'm going to try to figure out a way that he can do that. Now, I don't think that I'm going to have him play 80, 90 snaps a game. I think I'm going to have him maybe be the primary starter at one position. If it was me, it would be defense. He would be my starting corner. And he would be a wide receiver situationally. He would be somebody that would be important to the wide receiver room, but not necessarily the number one or the number two guy on the field. You know, whether he's a slot, whether he's going to be, you know, part-time, part of a rotation. It's pretty hard to play all the snaps on both sides of the ball. I think it's a little easier at receiver than it is at corner, in my opinion. So I think I'm going to have him, you know, and you really need to be a part of that scheme. They don't like to rotate corners that much. Maybe in sub packages they could use him as a part-time player coming in maybe and being the outside corner, and maybe your outside corner slides into nickel. There's a lot of different ways this can be done. And you can be successful at it, I believe. I mean, I go all the way back to Roy Green. That's dating me. But when he was playing in the NFL for the Cardinals. And he played nickelback for them, and he also played wide receiver. So he was part-time at both spots before he became a full-time receiver. He had several games where he caught a touchdown pass and intercepted a pass in the same game. And, you know, this is still on a modern level of football back then. You had some great players. Some of the stuff that they were doing back then is still relevant today. You didn't see the empty sets back then. But the fact that you see so much empty and four wide receiver sets, I think it's even easier for a guy to be a part-time receiver and a full-time corner.
John, let's look locally here a little bit. Iowa State and Iowa City, Caleb Johnson had a really good senior season or season. He's probably, everything I've read, second, third round type guy. What do you think, and what would he add to a team?
Well, I agree, and I really like Caleb Johnson. You know, our guy who does running backs for us, you know, we went back and forth on where we're going to rank him. We see a really good second round pick, and he's one of those 50, 60 guys that we think are really good players, that the value could be even better. He's a hard runner. He breaks tackles. He was one of the top guys in yards after contact in college football last year. He can beat you in a lot of different ways. He can catch the ball, but he's a good power runner. I love to have him in short yardage, but he's got enough speed, you know, that, you know, he can accelerate downfield. He can turn the corner. He's not necessarily a breakaway back, but he is a good back. He's good at a lot of things. He's a solid football player.
The other Iowa folks on the defensive side mainly, you got guys like Black, Castro, Harris in there, and then Jay Higgins, who is kind of an enigma, not a real big linebacker. There have been guys that have excelled in the NFL, as you know, that haven't been the biggest of linebackers, but all he does is make tackles in there. Is he going to hear his name, and how about those other guys for Iowa?
I think he's going to hear his name. He's not going to hear his name real high in the draft. It's going to be on the third day. But I love Jay Higgins. I love watching him play. I've seen him in person for the Hawkeyes. I've seen him make tackles all over the field. He's a tremendously disciplined football player. He doesn't make mistakes. He's instinctive. He's not fast, and he's not big. So that's a bad combination. But he just, as you said, he's productive. He makes plays. You know, he's going to be on a football team in the NFL, in my opinion. He's going to get drafted late. And again, there's some people say free agent, but, you know, you just can't ignore the production. You know, one of the things we like to say at our lads, this guy is too productive to ignore. So that's where we're at with Jay Higgins.
Another Higgins we want to talk about is the Iowa State wide receiver. He and Jalen Noll, probably second, third round picks. I wonder if you'd evaluate those two players.
Well, you know, Noll is not as big, obviously, as Higgins. He's a little bit undersized. His catch radius isn't the best, but he is fast. He can get downhill. He's got game-breaking ability. And so he's a great combination, you know, for Iowa State with the two receivers. And Higgins is he's the bigger kid. You know, he's, what is he, about 6'4". He's not the greatest route runner in the world, but he really can go and get the ball. His catch radius is phenomenal. He's not a bad route runner. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's fast enough. He can get downfield, and he's a big target. And, you know, coming across the middle, you know, he's tough. And he's a nice guy, a nice player to have. We've got him, you know, in the third, fourth round area. We've got Noll maybe in the more in the second, third round area, but they're both really good players.
Yeah. John Cooper joining us from Our Lad Scouting Service here as we talk about the NFL draft here on a Thursday, a week away here in eastern Iowa. Darian Porter in there from Iowa State as well as a corner. I think his stock is rising a little bit at this time, and I think he's going to get his name called sooner than later.
No, I agree with you 100% on that one. In fact, I would say that we are, part of the reason in our minds is that his stock rose with us as we started evaluating corners and really started stacking them against each other. And we really like Porter. There's not a lot we don't like about Porter. We think he's got really good, you know, fluid hips. He's got ball skills. He's got you know solid speed. You know, this is a player that, I think is going to be – he may go higher in the draft than a lot of people think. We've got him, and our grade is at the top of the second round, and it would not shock us if he went in the first round. He's big. He's almost 6'3", and he runs, you know, he's 4.3 40 at the combine. You know, you don't find guys like that very often, big corners that can run that have some twitch to them. So he's got a great skill set, and I'm thinking that, he might even go a little bit higher. You got a couple of guys there in Thomas that's, you know, coming off injury, Revell Jr. coming off an injury. You know, I could see he could slip up ahead of some of those guys based on some of the medicals and things that might be going on with them. Good player.
John, we never know about trades. Obviously, there's going to be some. But take that part out of the equation. If Ward is number one, and he looks to be, how about the rest of the top five?
Well, you know, we're going to do another mock draft here for fun. It's kind of like the first pick in the draft, Cam Ward, probably. The second pick in the draft, you know, we think Cleveland is very interested in Travis Hunter. He's the two-way player we talked about. The New York Giants, they're going to be the team that's going to determine what happens after that. There's a school of thought that says they're going to take Abdul Carter and let Shedeur Sanders pass. You know, and if that happens, you know, you're going to see, you know, some interesting things. You know, as far as, you know, is Shedeur Sanders going to get drafted by Pittsburgh later on? Is somebody else going to like him and take him? You know, all these teams now, the Jets have a quarterback, but is he the guy? You know what I mean? And 1 year, you know, the contract they have for him. The Steelers have a quarterback. You know, so everybody's got one that they are posturing that, you know, we can go to war with this guy. I'm not sure the Giants do. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But they're saying they do. They're saying they got a couple quarterbacks that we can go to war with and we're not going to worry about, you know, whether Sanders is the guy or not. So who is it, a smokescreen? You know, what is it? But anyway, the next player would be Abdul Carter after Hunter. And then you got Mason Graham, guys like Malachi Starks, Ashton Jeanty. You know, we don't think Jeanty gets by Las Vegas, but he could. You know, Mason Graham would be a nice fit in Jacksonville or New England. You know, so there's some quality football players, and I think the Giants kind of hold the key to that as to how they're going to fall off.
Yeah, I don't want Jeanty falling to the Denver Broncos, by the way. Mm-hmm. That scares me as a Chiefs fan.
In our first mock draft, he fell all the way to Dallas. I don't think that's going to happen. We're gonna, I don't think Chicago will let him go. I don't think Las Vegas will get by Las Vegas either. So that's going to be interesting. I don't think you have to worry about that one.
But yeah.
I've been wrong many times.
A couple of questions here for you, John, that our listeners have here, and I think we already answered, is there an Iowa player that could go a little bit higher? We talked about them. Another Hawkeye, local tie, Connor Colby. Who was a Cedar Rapids Kennedy product, played at Iowa. Is he going to get drafted, or do you think he's more of a free agent type?
We have a draftable grade on him. You know, he's a good athlete. You know, we see a really good backup, a kid that can develop as a guard. You know, and have the greatest range in the world, you know, but he does get to the second level. He's got, you know, pretty good speed. His power base is not as maybe good as some of the other guards in this draft, but he's still a good football player. And, you know, we have a, you know, we actually have a sixth round grade, but the range we put on him was fifth, sixth. So we like him. You know, we don't think this is a really, really good year for offensive guards. It's a little light. So that bodes well for him where, you know, we think he's going to get drafted.
Okay. Some other questions here. Can the Bears luck into Ashton Jeanty? you just talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Mark, do you want Ashton Jeanty for your Bears?
I want guys that can block.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got Bear fan over there. I'll tell you what, they need some. They need people that can block. I'll say, I mean, you don't want Caleb Williams taking a snap and looking at who's going to hit him first before instead of downfield. Mm. So they've got to protect. They've got to protect him. You know, they've got a lot invested in that quarterback, and he wasn't very good last year. It wasn't just the protection, but that was a big part of it. They've got to develop this kid. They're doing the right things. And I don't think it's hard to pass on an Ashton Jeanty, though. I mean, if he's sitting there, I mean, you got, you know, some tackles you could take with that pick, and I think that's kind of what they're leaning towards. But if Ashton Jeanty is sitting there, he's going to make your offense better. I got to believe that they won't let him go to Dallas because that would be the next team that would probably take him. So there's three teams that I think could take him, and the Bears are one of them. And in our next mock draft, when we play around, if he's sitting there, you know, I'll draft for the Bears and I'll have Jeanty playing for him. But I think he's in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
Now, speaking of the Cowboys, one of the questions from 0978, who would the Cowboys take? Who do you think they would like?
You know, they have a lot of needs. You know, their defense was really, really, you know, porous last year, and they have to address that. So I really believe, you know, unless the running back is there, because they need that too, I think they're going to go with the best defensive player, you know, on the board at that point in time. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of possibilities there. They need a corner, you know, a guy like a Will Johnson. They could use a defensive lineman. You know, I don't think Mason Graham's going to fall that far. But, you know, you've got Shamir Stewart, an edge rusher from Texas A&M, who can also slide inside of the nickel. Walter Nolan is a you know, a guy that they could look at. There's a lot of really good, you know, defensive players in this draft, and I think they're going to try to stock up on some of those guys because they've got to really improve. They got to improve up front. You know, they need a linebacker, I think. You know, obviously they've got Micah Parsons, but they need more than that because that defense, you know, we watched them early in the season. And, you know, we watch the film, and that's something they really have to shore up. They've done some things in free agency, but they have to do more.
Cajun Troy, our resident New Orleans Saints fan, does not want the Saints to take a quarterback, wants to trade for one. How about for the Saints? They're in the top 10 right now. Do they go quarterback, or do they go somewhere else?
Well, they could use a receiver, you know, still, I think. You know, we kind of like McMillan for them, possibly. You know, they would, I think, best player available, you know, for them, you know, I think is kind of what they're going to be looking at. And, you know, we like that receiver, you know, as a strong possibility for them to take. You know, as far as their big needs, they could use an edge rusher as well. So a guy like Scott of Stewart is a possibility for them. Defensive back, you know, Will Johnson, Malachi Starks, those are guys that they could look at. You know, they have some needs.
Well, we know the Bills and Chiefs don't need anybody, so what about...
Oh, yes, we do.
What about the hometown team, the Green Bay Packers?
Now, they're the hometown team for you guys, huh?
Okay. No. That's where the draft is. That's what I meant, yeah.
That's where the draft is. Okay. Yeah. I think the Packers want a receiver very, very badly. Mm. They need one very badly. They need a number one. They've got Watson, who's hurt, coming off an injury. When's he going to play? I don't know. They don't really have their core of receivers. There's a lot of number two and number three guys, and I think that includes Watson. They need a number one. They need a blue-chip receiver. Short of that, they need to shore up their defensive line. They need to get some pass rush from their interior, and they could probably use an edge rusher as well. You know, we like any one of those three receivers, if they fall that far, Golden, Ekbuka, you know, McMillan is going to be, like I said, he'll be gone most likely. If they're not there, Kenny Grant should be there as a strong possibility as a defensive tackle. Derek Harmon from Oregon. You know, they need to get interior pass rush, probably more than they need edge pass rush. Everybody's talking about the edge guys not being as productive. You look at the grading, you know, Kenny Clark, he's a great player. He did not have the kind of year, and they did not, in the new system, new defense they're playing, they weren't, you know, as effective as they had been in the past. Now, whether, you know, they got a new defensive line coach coming in, now whether that's going to change that way, I still think they need to address the personnel on that front. Yeah. So that's where they'll go if they can't get the receiver. There's talk of trading up. I don't know. But Goody is not a big fan of that from what I understand.
Great stuff, John, as always. And I know you got all kinds of information, and people can check out the website and let us know, let the people know about that and what they can get on the website.
Well, if you want to, our draft guide is still available. We're not sold out quite yet, but we're getting there. You know, if you want to buy the guide, there's a left-hand column there, a left-hand corner of the website that says Buy Draft Guide. Click on that, and you can order that guide and get it sent to you either by PDF, if you want to get it real quick, or they'll send it to you in the mail, and you'll have it for the draft. And it's a great, great resource, not only for the draft, but beyond the draft as you start to watch NFL games on TV and see where some of these guys were when they were coming out of college, how we ranked them. There's a lot of information in that book. Our website is loaded with information. Our depth charts are something all the NFL teams use. Fantasy football, it's a very popular part of our website. So there's articles on there. But the guide is still available, so we'd encourage people to to get a copy of that draft guide.
All right. Tell the Shankas hi, and always good talking with you, John.
Oh, I sure will. And they always want to hear how I did, mm-hmm. how it was when I'd gotten on in Cedar Rapids, because I know that's their hometown. So.
All right. Thanks, John. Have a great draft.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. 3:55, we'll take a break. Come back, a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
He's coming. Here he comes.
Surprise! Your table saw broke. Also, the warranty expired weeks ago, so you need to pay for anyone out of pocket.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Oh, and the replacement part you ordered doesn't fit, so it's completely useless.
What a waste.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Whether you're building a single roof or a successful roofing business, roofing contractors like you need the right tools for the job, and software is no exception. ServiceTitan is on a mission to be the most powerful software platform for the trades, with purpose-built technology proven to maximize revenue, streamline operations, and deliver 5-star customer experiences. We are taking roofing companies like yours to the next level and beyond. ServiceTitan. We are built for this. See what we can do for roofers at ServiceTitan.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Back with you to wrap things up here before we hand it off to Spencer on sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And we need to conclude with a wrap-up of Bowling Night in America, brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Money not coming our way.
No, the end is near, though.
Yes, it is.
One more week, and... A big loss last night, 19.5 to 10.5, but I think we're just playing out the string. That's what it sounds
that's
like.
That's what it looked like.
not playing out the string last night, Dan Healy had a 289 game, and Chad Durlein, who happened to be bowling against the Rusty Nails. Chad with a fine 771.
Did a good job, Chad did last night. The swimming coach over at Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were thinking about summer leagues or equipment, getting ready for those summer leagues or next year, stop on by at May City Bowl.
Or the bowling transfer portal. You can give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
We asked about the bowling transfer portal. There is no such thing as of yet. But,
no time like the present.
You know, 20 bucks could get us a good bowler. We'll see. I don't know. We may even up that to 30 if you're out there listening. We are off tomorrow due to Cubs baseball. Back with you coming up on Monday. Cal Eldred and Caddy Smack among the things coming up next week. And Spencer coming up next. Mark, have a good weekend.
You as well. Talk to you Monday.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for basketball and hockey this season. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of